hello there, and welcome to another episode of Dinner Table Talks, your new favorite podcast that I'm sure you're telling all of your friends about. My name's Joe Hilliard.
And I'm Aislinn Campbell.
And we invite you to pull up a chair, join us at our dinner table, where this week, much like the couple of previous weeks, Aislinn, there's one big topic at the dinner table.
I think there's a lot of big topics at the dinner table these days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I can tell you've got stuff on your mind. You want to pull an audible and get right into the meat of that?
No, I mean, I think that last week we didn't have any unanswered questions, and this week we have several, and that makes perfect sense. So let's just get into them.
Unanswered questions.
One of the bullet items on our faux script basically says ego, because that was something that got brought up last week, and I said, oh, just take that off.
Yeah.
I will tell you that a lot of what has been going on, oddly, has been connected to exactly that. And that's kind of how my life tends to work, that I manifest things exactly as they need to be manifested in my life. And so when you asked me that question, when you brought it up, I wasn't prepared for it. You
might. It's a dinner table, Aislinn. It might go anywhere at any time.
And I know that to be the truth, and I'm willing to go along for the ride. And I think that the idea that I was about to take everyone on the magical mystery tour, maybe someday we'll share that with you. But how I believe in what my faith is and what I believe in and how I've ultimately managed to create coping mechanisms for my PTSDs and sensory anxiety that I deal with is that I have begun to face down things like, what is my ego and what does that mean and how does my ego react? Well, interestingly enough, after last week, I listened to that a few times and I thought, that's not exactly right. What I said isn't exactly right. But I don't really know how to put it in words. And so then it was like, oh, well, I could do a little bit of research. And when I pulled up YouTube, interestingly enough, there were several YouTube stories and videos about the ego. And then it got me really thinking about how I've been processing the overwhelming feeling of what's going on in our world today. And that sensory overload has been on high alert. But what happens is that my ego does the fight or flight situation. My ego is there to protect me, and my ego starts fighting and yelling and arguing and telling everyone else what they've done wrong.
Because that is a way to cope with the stress that you're under?
It's a way to cope with the stress that I'm under.
It's almost like a involuntary reaction sometimes. The fight you're talking about?
I think so. And I think that when I begin to process what that means and when I begin to process, you know, ultimately the idea that I believe truly that you are a reflection of yourself. And I also am digging into this concept, which came up in some of the YouTube ego things.
You watched a couple?
Yeah, is that you literally do not see the same thing that I see. No one does, mm-hmm. No matter how close we are. And when you think about two egos fighting, the egos are fighting based on what that ego sees, and it's protecting itself from what it believes to be 100% the truth. But the fact of the matter is, behind our egos are the one that are all connected, and I'm literally fighting with myself, with the things that myself is seeing, because yourself is fighting with yourself and the same things that yourself is seeing.
And with all of the consternation that everyone seems to be feeling, and the way that that is being displayed on social media and elsewhere.
And all the egos
fight,
are fighting.
Fight, 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 fight,
all
fight.
All the egos are just, everything is an argument. What can I argue with today? I'm going to get up and look at the computer and decide what it is I can argue about today.
We titled last week's episode, Hey, I Got a Hog Leg for You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was funny.
And in re-listening, I love the hog leg part. And you're right. Hog leg has several definitions through time.
Also, if you think about titling the episode Hog Leg, and then as we've watched, because now at episode, isn't this episode 42?
You're right.
That means that we are 10 episodes away from having done this for an entire year. And I've been looking back and we've been watching the ups and downs and how many listeners we have, how many devoted listeners we have, who's listening all the time, who are the diehards that all listen on day one.
You're right.
And then beginning to really look back and understand that the titles make a difference in what people listen to. And it tends to be the sexier titles, if you will, not necessarily about sex, but like, oh my God, what are they going to talk about here when they talk about passing around a hog leg?
Your dad was right. The oldest definition is any large caliber handgun, typically with a long barrel. But UrbanDictionary.com says that a hog leg is the biggest fucking joint you have ever fucking seen. So you were right about that. Right. Your dad doesn't use smokeless chewing tobacco, but he may also remember that a hog leg is slang for a big wad of baccy that you put between your cheek and your gum.
I did not know that.
And then UrbanDictionary.com also says that a hog leg is slang for a, you know, a big, you know, wiener. I want to be family friendly. I'll bleep out those
Are
Fs.
Are we really family friendly?
I bleep out the Fs. Then we discussed that hog leg and preparing it and how it took much longer than I anticipated. You suggested it might have something to do with the reduced fat content of wild hog meat compared to commercially raised pork.
Right.
You were right. That is a part of it.
It's very lean.
However, wild pig is much richer tasting. And it's widely accepted that pigs, and just like chickens, just like everything, that are allowed to roam and forage are going to taste better than pigs kept in pens.
If you think about that concept of this tastes wild or this tastes gamey, that thing, it just gets me back to the concept that we have whitewashed our taste buds so much in this country that when something has a flavor, we get all like, ooh, it has a flavor.
Right. Not used to this.
Yeah. And then we were harvesting the grapes at the farm the other day. Someone came by that said, oh, what are y'all doing? And she took a grape and ate it. And then as she was walking away, she says, oh, it's really bitter. And I said, well, it's a wine grape. And then as she walked away, my dad said, are they bitter? Oh, no. They're very, very sweet. And he's like, huh, I wonder. And I said, well, maybe she got one that wasn't as ripe. Or more likely, our bitter profile is definitely different than folks that eat a very, very bland diet, which is most Americans.
You're right. And with that wild pork, what doesn't happen in the processing is the commercialization, which is a lot more salt and water. Mm-hmm. So when you prepare wild pork, some people will brine it, a concept we have not talked about one time on the show, of putting it overnight into a salt and sugar water.
We met a chef who said there's no other way to cook meat but to brine
any meat, brine everything.
You're a fool if you don't brine it, was his
theory. And they're trying to get salt, you know, a salty flavor into that meat that might not otherwise exist, and also putting in more fat. So some people will drape bacon, and there's other techniques, over that meat to put more fat into the meat. And they're basically trying to duplicate a commercial pork product. Well, we did none of those things and took much longer to cook because of that lack of fat. And it took us that second step of stewing the meat to get it where I wanted it to be for those amazing tacos that ultimately came out of it. And then lastly, what's on a Lacoste Izod shirt? A crocodile or an alligator? I thought I'd begin with the differences between an alligator and a crocodile. Do you know what they are?
It has something to do with like the way their teeth are placed.
It does. It's their snout shape.
There you go.
Alligators have wider U-shaped snouts, while crocodile front ends are more pointed in V-shape. Mm-hmm. When crocodile snouts are shut, they look like they're flashing like a toothy grin, as the fourth tooth on each side of the lower jaw sticks up over the upper lip. And alligators, their upper jaw is wider like than the lower one, so when they close their mouth, all their teeth are hidden.
Like in Peter Pan, when the crocodile chased Captain Hook and he always had a grin on his face.
Exactly. And then also where they live. Crocodiles tend to live in saltwater habitats while alligators hang out in freshwater marshes and lakes. But the Izod question, the thing on the shirt, definitively, your parents' argument can be put to rest, is a...
crocodile.
Exactly. And now you know. That unanswered question. We had so much great dinner table time this week. So many amazing meals. It was difficult to get it down to just a couple to talk about.
You had already said a few weeks back that when you made one of your sauces, that you were going to make chicken pot pie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, do it. Mm-hmm. Make it. Make chicken pot pie. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world. Like, I was the kid back in the days when, you know, microwave and TV dinners
yeah,
kind of a thing.
Lean cuisine.
Yes. Our family leaned on that type of eating more back then. Mm-hmm. We don't do much at all of that anymore now, but I ate chicken pot pies all of the time. And so the idea that I'm going to get a chicken pot pie, because chicken is one of those meats that I just won't compromise on at all.
You want to know where that chicken came from most of all.
Yeah. The idea of eating, I just can't. I can't eat it. It grosses me out so much. It like gives me a gag feeling. So I can't even like eat the food without thinking about where the food came from. A chicken pot pie, when do we ever have that? Because that's a whole masterpiece of cooking.
But the first question I had to answer was, how am I going to handle the grain-free requirement? Because chicken pot pie has a crust. Sure. I want that crust to be delicious. You'll remember we did the, you said you wanted pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found and purchased a box of pizza dough, grain-free pizza dough. They're using almond flour, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled that out and said, I wonder if I could use this for the chicken pot pie crust. So I made those crusts. I got my chicken out of the freezer, made it in the Instant Pot, and then you make, in this case, one of our five mother sauces, that rich, thick, gooey, delicious, creamy chicken pot pie. Well, that is a velouté, and that's the fourth of the five mother sauces. And if you don't know what we're talking about, I am making all five mother sauces into a dish over the course of these 10 or so weeks.
And I'm benefiting from that because I'm getting to eat chicken pot pies.
There is a roux, which is typically butter and flour, a fat and flour. For the velouté, which we did this time, it's a roux plus a white stock. Traditionally chicken, but it can also be vegetable or fish. I melt my butter, I add my flour, I cook that a little bit. But with the chicken pot pie, before you add your broth, you've already added your carrots, your celery, your onion, and then we chopped up some vegetables that we had.
Squash, eggplant. I didn't think about this, but a lot of people put green beans in there. I should have given you my
and
green beans.
And frozen peas is a thing, or peas.
Yeah. I don't really like peas to begin with. Green peas. I don't like them that much. Okay. They're okay.
Hmm.
But the idea of a frozen bag of peas being poured into something, or a can of peas being poured into something, is always kind of like...
You cook those vegetables down, then you add your stock, it thickens up, and you are ready then to add that cooked chicken and pour it into your crust.
It was too thick.
The crust was?
Yeah. It was way too thick.
I'm surprised. I thought that given that it wasn't exactly what you're going to get at a restaurant because of the grain-free thing, that the crust came out okay. But a little too thick, a little too dense.
Yeah, it was really hard. Because you know how... One of the best things about the old school things was that you would dump it out on the plate and then you'd kind of chop it up a little bit so that it all got like juiced up, and then you'd eat the bites out of it. Well, you couldn't chop up the crust. So I just had this like hard bowl of like bready type stuff at the bottom. And I kind of would like try to scrape away and break off pieces, but it didn't really work. I would love it if there was a delicious crust that existed for me in the world. And there probably is, but if I had to choose between a grain-free pizza dough mix that you already had that you'd give a try versus the Pillsbury dough, which please don't ever choose that as an option.
Pillsbury dough crusts are so easy.
Right. There's a lot of easy things in life. I mean, there are so many. You can have them all if you choose.
They're just not the best ones.
Now, you might have comorbidities and have a hard time fighting off a virus, but, you know, whatever.
How was my velouté sauce?
The sauce was delicious.
And the chicken.
It had great flavor.
Mm-hmm.
The meal, the chicken, the bites of eggplant, the carrots, raw, cooked, correct. Everything tasted really good.
So if we do this again, I just need to find a different, more flaky, more traditional chicken pot pie crust. But fourth sauce down, one more to go. It's a tomato or tomate sauce. And we are going to do, you tell me, shrimp creole?
Sure, I guess. This is going to be like the brown sauce episode.
I appreciate your crust criticism here, but the guts of that chicken pot pie, that it was awesome. I'm going to deliver a fantastic tomate sauce to you.
Okay, well, so the first suggestion of shrimp creole is nothing I would ever order.
Hmm.
I'll be curious to see.
Oh, no.
Shrimp
creole's out. I've already gotten too much of a poo-poo stink nose from you on that.
But it's not about shrimp. And it's not about Cajun spices. It's about the tomato.
Well, stay tuned.
Sauce.
Our fifth and final mother sauce is a few weeks away.
All of that set aside, your chicken pot pie was fantastic.
Okay.
And
thanks. You've upgraded me to fantastic. I appreciate that.
So in the midst of this whole concept of not having the kids around and having a free morning, and I had gotten up real early on Sunday and had gone to a garden church service I thought was really interesting, in a community garden that I had helped spur off and get started, doing all the things that we do on Sunday morning. And I said, let's go get breakfast. And
oh, yeah. And I said, yes. Are you telling me I don't have to cook a meal right now? Because I don't feel like doing it. I was eager to go anywhere you wanted to.
So if restaurants know you're more likely to come to the restaurant if you can sit outside in an open air space, then they're going to begin developing their open air spaces
better. If they didn't have one before, even.
And I'm sure that this probably makes no sense to anybody in the rest of the country that lives in places that are very outdoor friendly and are prepared for a nice outdoor environment, that Corpus Christi has had up to the most recent years very little outdoor spaces to sit at a restaurant.
Corpus Christi, a city that tourists come to be outside.
Right.
Are not matched with an outdoor coastal setting when it comes to outdoor spaces to eat and live as often as you think that they should be.
And I think that what that was is I think that for some reason there was a time in Corpus Christi where restaurants were catering to a population that cared more about air conditioning than they cared about being outside.
Probably.
That's all I can figure out. And we just haven't fast forwarded past the 80s.
Right.
In 40 years. And now all of a sudden, we've decided to join at least the 2000s.
That's how it works here.
And so you've got a lot more restaurants that are catering to outdoor. And in the midst of this thing, there's more restaurants trying to make it even better. This nice place that we like to go to has done this beautiful, amazing like stretch. And I hear that they're going to continue to do more of that. And they're starting to put outdoor plants. And of course, I'm completely excited about the outdoor plant concept. And, you know, and let's create nice sound barriers from the traffic going by with plants. And so there we are. We went to this place that I really like to go to, Tannins.
We talked about it in the charcuterie episode.
Yeah, it's wine and cheese, and they also have meals. Really, really up in their game over the last couple of years, we've noticed. And they're in our, what we call the cool part of town. Just the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Brunching away, super swanky.
I've got my little cute sundress on. And we're, you know, we're holding hands across the table and we're chit-chatting about this and that.
I had gotten some sangria that they had made.
I had a mimosa. And then later on, I had a watermelon sangria.
We were brunching it up.
And I looked down at the ground. And then I looked back up and I was like, do you realize that you have your socks and your freaking chicken coop Crocs on?
I went socks and Crocs to brunch. And the answer was no. I didn't realize that I had left my home looking like that.
It's not just about what you look like. It's also about your stomping around in your most disgusting, yes, dirtiest chicken shit shoes.
Those are my chicken coop
shoes. The chicken shit shoes that I don't want you to wear in the house, right, and to prop up on the desk.
Or to a restaurant.
Or into the kitchen where we wear our bare feet.
I've thought about that so many times because I don't wear those. I don't wear Crocs out. Those are just for the chicken coop.
Well, you have a one-track mind about you. And that you have whatever the one thing is on your mind and all the rest of the stuff going on around you doesn't even...
Well, but I don't take that to the point to where you've looked down and thought you found me in my bunny slippers at, you know, the fancy steakhouse. I can put shoes on when
that,
I go.
On that particular day, you've been wearing your Crocs around more as if they're real shoes.
I've been wearing my Crocs around the house more because I find myself at the house more. And I'm also finding that when I'm at the house, I'm usually outside with you. And those are my outside the house shoes.
But if they don't come inside the house, then they're never going to be accidentally walked out in.
You're absolutely correct. I will amend that behavior.
I have a pair of chicken Birks.
So when this episode releases, we had that brunch 8 days ago. And
yes,
we sat down last night and had kind of like a, let's talk about what's going on with Corona right now.
Well, last night you said it's about to get bad, well, and I was like, "Please don't."
But let me just
don't say that.
But let me just give the listeners some clarification. When New York was on fire with Corona, and the rest of the country was not yet, flare-ups here, flare-ups there, mostly metropolitan areas. States did these broad blanket stay-at-homes.
Yeah, I believe they were told you need to get your healthcare system in check and ready for this because mm-hmm. it's not ready.
Right. And so while...
And I was involved in the healthcare system at that time. So I can tell you that's exactly what the wording was for people.
So while we're at home, staying at home 3 months ago, right after spring break, there are no growth of cases where we live. And then states began to blanket do the, we're opening up, usually in phases. And what's happening is that the timeline of Corona finally getting down to Corpus Christi, in my opinion, because the last 5 days have been big growth compared to prior.
Right. Because we
while the state is opening up.
Right. We weren't interacting with ourselves.
It's so easy to armchair quarterback. I totally get it.
The fact of the matter is, no matter what happened, this virus that came to America was not going to magically disappear.
Sure.
And people were going to get it, no matter when we finally opened up.
Because the virus exists, it is real, it is not a hoax, and right. it is, you know, right. transferring amongst us.
And if the goal, whether I liked it or not, if the goal in the beginning of the shutdown was to get our healthcare systems up to par, I sure hope they got ready.
Or give them a delay before a rush.
Exactly.
Right. And they were ready. My mom was in the hospital for something completely unrelated.
There was nobody there. They were a ghost town.
They had floors cleared out. They were not accepting specific types of patients because here comes the corona rush that did not come a couple of months ago. Here locally.
Right. There is a bit of an increase in the number of hospitalized ICU and deaths. This is the most important part of the conversation because the number of people that get corona isn't that important. It's the number of people that are getting fatal issues with corona. That's the most important numbers. And those are the ones that should be being talked about. Because if we lock everyone down again, we're going to continue to see an increase in fatal issues in other places as well, like suicide.
Depression.
Right. Domestic abuse, some domestic violence, things like that. So if we're paying attention to that and understanding that we can do something to make sure that we continue to create the immunity that everyone needs to have, then we probably need to pull back and make sure that our hospitals don't get into a situation where there's an overrun again. And that's where I am with this whole thing. Meanwhile, it's the most environmentally beautiful June that I can remember. Certainly of all of the years that I have notably been paying attention to when the summer hits because of the professional gardening work that I do. The weather has been amazing. The mosquitoes haven't even been that bad this year.
It's not a bad time to be at home.
No, it's not a bad time to be outside. It's not a bad time to be having picnics. You know, my mom was talking about her and my dad wanting to go, you know, on a trip again. You know, then there's conversations about the uptick and whether or not, you know, whatever. Go on a trip like you used to do in the old days. Plan it out. You and dad in a car. Where are all the picnic sites? Where are all the rest areas that aren't going to have everyone in them? And go hiking and go do things where you're not going to run into a bunch of people. You're just going to be enjoying your countryside. You're going to be enjoying the outdoor spaces. The word that's been said over and over and over again is shift. You got to shift. And I think that that's an extremely important part of it. And I think that we're going to have to shift maybe a little bit. I look at this completely different than I did the first time, though, because I...
Just a few months ago, you mean?
Yeah. The shutdown stuff, not shutdown, the stay home, not an order, not a regulation, not the government has to tell me how to take care of myself. And this is where people don't understand my politics because they'll say, well, that surprises me that Aislinn would feel that way about that. She has that nose ring, you know, and that's an old joke, by the way. But because there's a bunch of people out there in the world that are not going to do it right, doesn't mean that I need the government to tell me how to do it right. Because if that was the case, then I would be for, let's see, the cotton farmers, and here's where I piss off all of South Texas. The cotton farmers are about to spray defoliant on the cotton here this summer so that they can harvest the cotton.
That's a chemical that kills all of the green and leaves only the cotton bowl.
Correct. It makes it easier for them to process and take the cotton off and, you know, whatever. I'm going to be sick when that happens. It's going to make me sick. Everyone's going to get a dry cough. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, okay, let's deregulate. Let's say we can't use that anymore. Mm-hmm. How about big gulp Dr. Peppers and Takis? Yeah, I don't think you should be allowed to have a big gulp Dr. Pepper anymore. You know what?
While our
Whataburger. Let me piss off everybody real good. No Whataburger. You know why? Because Whataburger leads to obesity and diabetes. And you can find all the statistics you want to prove you're right. And so can I.
Because the requirement to argue is more important than the requirement to think.
We're not taking everything into account. And my belief on everything is you do you. I'm just tired of the fighting. It's hurting me.
What do you mean?
I'm overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed. I sent a message to my friend that's a therapist that completely understands what I'm talking about. I said, I think we need to have conversations about how can people create coping, especially people that deal with sensory overload and that are empathic, that feel it. And I feel it. We've had the conversation about how I don't watch movies where someone is going to get stabbed or
hurt.
Pushed, hurt, physically hurt. It's because I can feel it. And I'm telling you right now, the world feels really bad. Everywhere, every group that I walk into, I'm just like a shiver. Like I have a shiver all the time, everywhere I go. Not everywhere I go. There's certainly places that have
because you know that the conversation that's bound to probably happen is, isn't this effed up? And whose fault is it?
Well, and not just that, but everyone, good people everywhere are pointing the finger at each other and going, it's your fault. It's your fault because you're not wearing a mask. It's your fault because you're wearing a mask. It's your fault because you're in your 20s. It's your fault because you're old. It's your fault because whatever. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. All of the time. Nonstop. This is 2020.
And the empathic mind takes that on in a place and in a way and in an accumulation that can feel bad.
Yeah.
And someone like me,
I can compartmentalize it.
I can read it.
Well, I'm
you
starting to
hang
see,
on.
I do, and I'm starting to see it from people that just it blows my mind. And I'm sure that they're thinking the same thing about me. Like they're surprised that I have a feeling about the way that I have a feeling. Where was this argument when in 2010, when Corpus Christi get named the fattest city in America, and I worked at the children's hospital, and there was an increased number of childhood obesity mm-hmm. and diabetes. Mm-hmm.
Something you never saw before.
Exponential levels. Mm-hmm. There were those of us that were literally laughed at for saying, hey, man, we got to change things. We got to change things. We got to change things. We have to do it differently. There were doctors that were type 1 diabetics, teachers, endocrinologists that left town because no one cared. And now some of the exact same people that just didn't care. And I'm going to poo-poo the idea that you've come up with a way to have a stronger immune system and to be healthier and whatever. We're just going to ignore that we said that and tell you there's something wrong with you because you're not protecting my health. Because I've been protecting the community's health every day that I learned how to be a better protector of community health. When I ran for mayor, I wanted my top platform piece to be about health.
In our community, in a city that has got poor, poor, poor health and refuses to
talk
about it.
No one goes outside. No one walks. Everyone eats junk food. There's mm-hmm. no good food. You can't even go get a nice vegetarian meal. And I was told, like, you can't put that as a campaign item. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about health.
Locally.
And that's all we're talking about now. And everyone is pointing the finger that they know more. I know more because I know this and I saw these stats.
Well, I
and
did read
saying,
a headline.
And we're just all ignoring science now and conspiracy theory and all the time.
What a missed opportunity.
This is actually no different than having a conversation about the Bible. You can't pick out the pieces and go, this proves my point. You can't do that. You have to take it all or none.
Do you ever feel a respite?
Going out to my family's farm. And being able to just be outside. I've actually been listening to a book for a book group that I'm getting involved in, What Truth Sounds Like by Michael Eric Dyson. I've actually listened to it twice. And to focus on something other than myself, I think that's part of it. My ego, what's going on? How do I feel about this, that? What's my opinion? No, it's merely listening to someone else. And just having that fresh air and the sunshine and whatever. And so when I've gotten into my moments where I'm just like sorting through what my ego thinks, I'm coming back to those places that felt good. You know, my dad makes wine.
Mm-hmm.
We did the 2020 grape harvest yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And processed all the grapes and everything. And spending that time with my dad, and then my brother showed up and he had gone out fishing and he had caught some beautiful fish. And so he's there filleting the fish. Those are the respites. When I'm focused on doing the things to care for my family, my health, just getting outside, not judging anyone, those are those moments. Those are those respite moments.
Yeah.
Just as we're really, really seeing opening, we're going to see a shutdown back again.
Oh, yeah, we are.
People inviting other people over to their houses. So my friend, my chef friend, Paula Shepenick, she said, I'm having a few girlfriends over and I was wondering if you'd like to attend. Absolutely. There were four of us and it was wonderful. And it was a great meal, of course, because my friend is a chef. It was crab cakes. Crab meat in it.
You brought absolutely zero of those home for me.
Well, there wasn't any to share. I'm sorry. You weren't invited. It wasn't a girl plus Joe night.
No, I didn't want to go with you. You could have slipped a crab cake in your shoe and brought it home.
And then sticky ribs, which were amazing and delicious.
Oh, badass.
It was followed by a strawberry strawberry tart. I think I'll show some pictures. We were drinking ourselves some white wines, rosés, and things like that. You know, sitting outside in her back porch. She has a really, really nice back porch. And there I was picking seeds out of something and sticking seeds in my pocket.
You've been doing that a lot lately.
That's what I do. That's what I do. That group of women had a lot in common, as it turns out. A lot of interesting correlating parts of us. We're all close in age. So last week we had talked about the teenage girl stuff that we've been dealing with. Now I'm in a room full of women that were all teenage girls at one point in their life. Two of the four of us have teenage daughters, and we're talking about how to handle all of the different things that come up with teenage daughters. And then we start talking about our own teenage behavior. And three of the four of us are from South Texas rural areas. So like grew up out in the country, and we all had the same stories. Whereas Paula, I can't remember exactly where she's from, but she was like, oh no, we didn't, that wasn't our stories at all. We're like, oh yeah, we snuck out. You know, when we got in trouble, the sheriff brought us home to mommy or daddy. You know what I mean? Like, we had a completely different story. There wasn't shit else to do.
Right.
We were out on the country roads, drinking, smoking, doing all the things we weren't supposed to be doing, driving our cars too fast. There was the conversation about the when you wrecked your car, you know, who wrecked their car. Oh, yeah, my cousin puked on the door. You know, I'm like, all the stories of like stupid shit we used to do, right? Driving around on the country roads. But it goes back to the idea that we all, number one, we're all moms now, and we've got, and not only that, but we're also going, things are a little different. They are a little different. And they certainly were different for the rural kids because there was no one around. There was no one there. If we snuck out of our house, you know.
You weren't going to a house party with 300 kids in it.
If we were, that was a much bigger plan.
That was a city party.
It was a big deal to come to town because you had to go over the Harbor Bridge. You had to drive your car over the Harbor Bridge. That was a big deal to come to town. And, you know, it was funny because me and one of the other girls, very similar in age, we actually talked about the same boy. Do you remember such and such? She's like, yeah, I had a crush on him. I'm like, that guy was my boyfriend when I went to college. That didn't last very long. That's how small town we are down here.
Sure.
I think that was it. Just that those were some of the conversations that four women were having, and how do we settle these things out, and how do we...
Did y'all figure it
talk
out?
To our, no, of course not. But it was fun. It was good. And it felt
politics?
Good.
Germans?
We talked a little bit about the whole like Corona stuff. And one of the things I thought was really interesting as we're going back to the whole Corona conversation, that... The employers, no matter what the regulations are, there are still going to be people that are going to ignore the rules, and that some of the employers are just ignoring the rules. Mm-hmm. And the people that are taking it for real, there are people that are taking it very seriously and doing it. And we're placating the reality of we're supposed to be sanitizing, but we're not really sanitizing. We're wearing a mask, but we've got it underneath our nose. Or we're yelling at somebody for not wearing a mask while we pull our mask down and scratch our nose. And
or we're
then,
eating at a restaurant and a buddy comes over and puts his hand out for a handshake.
And talks over your table while you're eating. Mm-hmm. And to me, those are all the things, the concepts of common sense with health and washing your hands. And if they're going into schools or if they're going into restaurants and doing complete sanitization of everything, what were they doing before? You can't ignore how we got here. This is no different than some of the other historical conversations we're having to have. We can't ignore how we got here. And what are we going to do as we move forward? And it's not just a public relations move in the media or this visual image that we're trying to create that we're doing it all right. You're not doing it any more right than anyone else is doing it. You're just doing the best that you can. And the worst thing you can do is point fingers at everyone all the time, just constantly. You're not benefiting the health of anyone by telling everyone they're doing it wrong. Like, that's what I want to get through. I guess I expected more of this type of feeling in the beginning than I do now.
We've had time to process and allow that human, sad to say, ability to screw everything up to really
yes.
kick on in.
That's exactly where I was going with this. Mm-hmm. And that is that here we are back to being exactly what we were when this all started. And the fact of the matter is, this is the problem. How we react to it. Egos, that's all it is. It's the same thing going all the way back to that original thing. Your perspective is different than mine.
And that's okay. Okay.
It's okay. It is. It can't be not okay. There is no other way to do it. There's no way for me to ever know what it feels like to be a black man There's no way for me to ever know what it feels like to be an 80-year-old woman in Italy during Corona. There's no way for me to judge how someone else does it because I don't see it the same way they see it. And so just the simple idea that you then beat people up for it, even if it's not physical violence, but mental violence. I don't understand. I can't handle it. I'm having a very, very hard time with it.
Do you think you can handle a table topics question?
I suppose it depends on what the question is.
Okay.
Let's go with something fun like bachelorette party.
Yeah, those are fun, right?
Yeah.
These have been okay?
They've been silly.
What would your stripper name be?
Do you remember that time we went to the strip club in Vegas?
Yes, I do.
I always have these theories that I can handle these types of concepts, you know? Like, I'm not a jealous type of person, and I'm not affected by just general sexuality.
You understand, like, the game of a strip club. You know what you're getting into. You've been to them prior to you and I going to that one time that we've been together.
Well, and I don't have a problem with women that feel good about showing themselves out, their assets off, right? You know, out on the beach and you got your thong bikini on. That's your choice. You know, that's your body.
This is one of those essential topics that you and I can agree on.
Well, and this is one of those things where you could say that I'm pretty liberal, you know, like do what you want, you know, as far as that stuff is concerned. I like to go to the burlesque shows in Vegas. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And boobies, you know, boobies are great.
You're not scared of the female form.
No. I think women are beautiful. I think women's boobs are awesome. And I, you know, all of that. And we
agree yet again.
Women have nice shapes, you know, of course we do. And we smell good generally. And we have got like pretty, like flowy hair and all that, you know, that stuff's all good, you know, right? So I like that, right? I thought whenever you and I went to Vegas that we would go to a strip club, that would be fun. And we go into this place and it is huge.
It's Sam's Club.
Yeah, it's huge. It felt like there was literally a conveyor belt of all different types of women walking by us.
We had seen something similar at a dim sum restaurant where the conveyor belt goes by and you can pick up a sushi
They just walk by and it's just one after another and they just keep making the rounds until you basically pick the one you want. Like, that's my variety.
Sure.
That's the flavor I like to taste, you know, whatever.
Taste.
Like, what? No, I mean, I'm thinking in terms of the dim sum concept.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow this girl ended up, it wasn't like we chose her. She did. I think
she's very aggressive.
I think finally she just chose you.
Yeah. I'm not good at the confrontation part. Yeah. Hi, can I give you a little dance? Yeah, no, thank you. Oh, but you're so handsome. I appreciate that. No, thank you. Fine. Let's get this over with.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Like, I hated it. I never want to do that ever again in my life. It was
not fun.
So let's
just summarize that evening. I paid my $60 cover charge to get in because I brought a lady. You got in free. We bought our two $20 drinks.
Right.
But the moment that we got there, it was a rush to, let's get this kind of over with now and get on out of here.
Speaking of sensory overload.
Oh, that place would have
good
driven
Lord,
you
it was.
Crazy.
I even remember going into the bathroom and there was strippers everywhere in the bathroom, like putting on lipstick and... Uh-huh. And then there
they
was
have
like
the public bathroom for that. It seems like they would have a backstage.
I think they must have both, but they were in there. There was things out with all different types of smelly shit you could spray on yourself. You know how you go into a bathroom and they've got like
an attendant with the cologne.
Well, this was that, but like strip club versions, spray smelly things and lotions.
Axe
and
body spray for ladies though.
And it's just sparkly shit everywhere. And it's just like, truthfully, I'm not a huge fan of Vegas exactly because of that. Like the whole concept of it, just I like the showmanship of it. I love the art. I love that you can see almost any musician there if you time it correctly.
Fantastic restaurants in Vegas.
Beautiful, amazing restaurants. The pools are luxurious.
Ride
you know?
A roller coaster if that's your thing.
But the initial original concept of Vegas is just so not my...
I can think of many other places I'd rather visit in America having gone to Vegas a few times and saying, that's checked off my list.
Exactly.
What would your stripper name be?
I have no idea. I feel like it would have something to do with a fairy, maybe. Like Tinkerbelly.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Tinkerbell.
Yes.
That might be weird.
They're all weird. I mean,
don't forget, Tinkerbell works on tips and tips alone.
Right. Something like that. That's a terrible question.
Mine's Din Diesel.
Movies are great.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.